get you guys a little more brainstorming on the specific parts that you're working on. I had a session with Giri about a week ago, I think,
right.
And we made some progress that day. It would be nice to get a little more done today. And
so one thing I wanted to talk about before we get into what you're saying is, so you had foundations as one of your parts. The problem with that organization is that foundations is everywhere. It's and if you talk about wastage, it's only applicable to non-partitionable systems. So every problem I try to formalize will either fit in
one or the
partitionable
other.
Or the other.
Which is fine, I think.
And so maybe the best thing is to think of the formalizations to be
embedded
part of
in
every, instead of it being separate. Maybe some notational things could be there at the start, but the rest could just be could be part of each of the other sections. So
okay.
That may be a better way to organize.
So you're saying that let's have in a section which may not be a research component, some of the common concepts.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that if we had some research problems in the foundations component,
yeah,
that will distinguish, let's say, the theory aspects of this work from the practical systems building questions. Or the work.
That could still happen. Within each section, perhaps you could have a foundational section and other sections.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Because otherwise, right at this, even in the foundational section itself, we would have to explain partitionable versus non-partitionable and all the subtleties of each of those things. So I'm not sure the organization would work out well.
Hmm. Okay. So let's formulate the questions and then we
can think about
it. And then we can think about this again. But I see the concern that you have. I do appreciate it. I like this organization in terms of salesmanship. That's basically
that.
Yeah. But it may not be practical.
If after writing all the other things,
yeah,
if we can abstract out what look like common themes that,
yeah,
cut across the whole thing, then it makes sense.
Well, not just, it doesn't have to be common themes, by the way. In foundations, could be like foundations for this part of what we are doing and foundations for this other part of what we are doing. And we can change the organization within the foundations section itself.
Okay.
And I think that can be done. I feel like
I was actually answering the question you asked last time. So where will this stuff go?
Mm.
That's what I was addressing.
Okay.
Because you asked that, I went back and looked at what you had written up, and it just didn't seem to.
Yeah. The problem is right now, I'm far behind on the writing.
Yeah.
So, but at least we have one section which kind of summarizes what you might see in different chapters, right?
Yeah.
And I know it's not a very good guide, but I was hoping that when you're thinking of questions, you could associate those questions with one of those sections of the proposal.
Sure, yeah. Well, pretty much everything I write will be sort of foundational.
Right.
And they're either going to be for partitionable caches or non-partitionable. I haven't found anything that cuts across both of these.
Right. There was one thing that we talked about during our last meeting, which is self-wastage.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if that it makes sense at all, but what is the wastage induced by one workload on itself?
Yeah.
And when you bring that into picture, then your wastage cuts across both partitionable and non-partitionable caches.
Yeah. Well, so I did think about it, and the answer I gave myself was that when you figure out what the working set size is, or you figure out the miss rate curve or whatever,
mm.
the characterization of this workload, you've already taken that into account. That's exactly what goes into saying, I need this much space in order to work reasonably for this workload.
Mm-hmm.
So self-wastage is already there.
It's already built in there.
Because you're trying to say, if I had this much space, I won't kick out anything that I really need, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's basically what mistake curve is.
Yeah.
And so self-wastage is accounted for in the working mm-hmm. set characterization.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I should write about that.
We also talk about the fact you have a position of a cache if we do dynamic resizing.
Yes.
Then the wastage would combine.
Not really. You will only have self wastage, but that has been. If you have the miss rate curve, you have a complete characterization of how it will behave with this much space. So all you're saying is, okay, my partition has this much space, so this is how it's going to behave. I don't need anything more.
Yeah.
I don't have wastage because of someone else's behavior.
Mm.
I only have wastage because of my own behavior, but that's already characterized.
That's a great point, yeah.
So wastage is totally irrelevant in partitionable caches. But we need to understand that in order to decide how to fine-tune the sucker, how much to give to this guy.
Hmm.
That's the only thing that's left at that point.
Yeah, no, that explains the confusion I had. I was wondering about this, but you're absolutely right. The MRC already includes wastage effects.
Yeah.
For self-wastage.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay. Okay. So then, yeah, we don't have that to cut across these two.
One of the pairwise things you have to worry about, but you know, pairwise also has the weakness that something gets kicked out not because of that particular workload, but because of any workload, anything that comes up next, you're going to get kicked out because you're at the bottom of the pile. That's your problem. The problem is being at the bottom of the pile, not that it was A or B or C that was causing you to get kicked out.
Right. So the real question is, I guess, given a set of workloads, what is the wastage induced on a specific workload on account of all the other workloads, right? So that's a fundamental question we want to answer.
Yeah.
And we're sort of breaking that question up by saying, okay, let's say...
There's nothing unreasonable about the way Ricardo defines wastage.
Hmm.
But all I'm saying is it's one perspective. It may not give us a complete characterization of how this thing behaves.
Hmm.
And it's sort of, as you say, finger pointing. I'm not sure it's really finger pointing precisely because the point I was trying to make was if your little data item got kicked out of the cache, it's not because of one guy, it's because of anybody. Because you were at the bottom of the pile, not because
I see
that
your point.
Guy was
I see your point, yeah. yeah, that's a good point. I think what we want with finger pointing is to maybe not identify a single workload, but a subset of the workloads that cause the problem with a given workload.
Well, I could
any
look
one
at
of
it that
those
way,
workloads,
or I could look at it differently. So, in fact, that was one of the things I was trying to write was to say, because again, I was trying to articulate why is wastage happening.
Mm.
So before that, maybe you should tell me what is the definition of a working set, so that I explain to you correctly.
Okay. The definition of a working set is the set of all items, and this is an extension that we did in the ERSS work, okay, and it's called effective reuse set.
Yeah.
And the effective reuse set is the set of items that need to be in the cache so that the application doesn't experience a thrashing behavior, meaning that it's not
that's
continuously
too,
messing.
So that's too lax. So let's try and make it more formal. So
right.
How do I define?
So
you do computations. I mean, actually, your programs figure out what is the working set. How does it do it? Tell me that.
Right. So one thing which we could do, which is not the effective reuse set, is to define reuse set first. Right.
Yeah.
And reuse set
anything that is needed in the near future or
in a given window of time.
Okay.
Because
so
working
set defined is always defined with respect to a window, is it?
To a window of time. So given a window of time, all
so
the items,
basically all the things that are all distinct items that are accessed within that window, that's your working set?
That are reused within that window, which means at least accessed two
that
times.
Are, I see.
Yeah.
But you have to, so things that are not reused, you need at least a, at least.
Yeah, they are the ones that flood the cache.
Right. So, for instance, in that one example that Ricardo had, where it was doing sequential access.
Yeah, everything is flooded.
So, that's true, but the working set size is 1 or 0?
The working set size would be 0 in that case.
Is it 0?
Would be 0.
1?
No, the working set size is 0, but the cache requirement is 1.
Okay. So, it's always working set size plus 1? Is that what you're assuming then?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Because you would need at least one extra slot
working set is only
for
the reused,
for the flooding accesses. You need at least one extra slot for the flooding
access.
Because they don't get reused, they need to be accessed once and then get thrown away.
Yeah. Okay, so what I had in mind was something I may have mentioned earlier, namely contention or wastage happens because of disparity in speed. So how can I formalize this? And
reuse rate and flood rate.
Well, reuse rate and flood rate are really, they look at the string of accesses, they don't look at time.
But you could, I guess, you could look
you
at...
You could, but so that... I was trying to formalize it so that maybe it could give me a different perspective on this. And
what is the goal that you're trying to?
Yeah, so the goal I'm trying to say, so let's take that simple example that Ricardo had, right?
Yeah.
His example was, here is workload A and it accesses this.
Yeah.
And here is workload B that accesses that.
Yeah.
So repeatedly, one repeatedly accesses a page, the other one does sequential access. This guy just needs one unit of, so its working set is of size 1.
Well, it's not. It's
sorry,
zero.
Working set is size 0, but it needs a cache of size
1
in order to do its job, and so does this.
Yeah.
Now, if you put them together, things would work. Would work perfectly fine if you had this.
Yeah.
And you would work. You would do quite well with a cache of size 2. Right. But things get into trouble if you take this scenario that Ricardo had.
Yeah.
Right. And then a cache size of cache of size 2 simply doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
And that's because. If I look at a window of size 2, well, I shouldn't say window
but here
of size
you, here 2. You can see that the flood rate and the reuse rate change from the first to the second one. The flood rate just got doubled, actually get multiplied by 2/3, and the reuse rate got multiplied by
true.
Yeah. 3 over 2. Or
that's true.
Yeah.
But the way I was trying to look at was to see if by sliding a window I can see something. So what was I trying to say?
Let me
look. Right. So if I in a way, what does this mean? This means that if I have a window of size 1, if I take any window, doesn't matter, I don't know what size window I need to take, so that's part of my issue with the definition of working set. It still says the working set size is 0, right? right? Regardless of where I place the window. If I place a similar window over here,
you need to take a window that's large enough. Okay, let's talk about the window because it's important.
Yeah, because that's critical here.
Yeah. So the window needs to be large enough to how do I put this? To subsume all the elements that get reused over
so that
the entire size of the
tile. So that you take care of reuse tiles, right?
Yeah.
You want the window to be large enough so that reuse tiles don't get kicked out.
Right. But there is a catch.
Yeah.
You cannot have an infinite
size
window because an element might be getting reused now and then like after 5 days. Right.
But then that,
but that doesn't mean this element is getting reused.
But that definition gets unclear if all I give you is a sequence.
Right. So then, here's a somewhat more formal way of defining that window. The window should be sufficiently large so that you access enough unique items to fill the cache.
The problem is not to fill the cache, the problem is to
fill the cache. I'll tell you why. Because if an item gets kicked out after a sufficiently long period of time, it's not considered to be reused because it needs to be resident in the cache long enough before it gets reused.
So that's why the window shouldn't be...
The window should be there for a reflection of the size of the cache.
Right.
And the size of the cache affects the window in a very specific way, which is to say all the unique items that come into the cache need to fill up the cache, right? So that's why I'm defining the window now, is to say window large enough so that there are enough unique items to fill up the cache.
And also if you increase the window by a little bit, it's not going to change your answer for cache size. Right, that's also something you're saying.
If you increase that window more, then you might be capturing reuse effects that actually don't end up to be reused in the cache.
So, but that's why I'm saying incremental increase, very small increase, shouldn't change your answer, right?
Maybe, but I don't know why that property is important.
Because we need a stable answer. We need something that's robust. If it changes just by you changing the window by one, then it's not really a robust definition, right?
Yeah, the problem is that you can always create an adversarial workload where the guy is accessed right after the size of the window.
Yeah, so then maybe I should examine that definition and come up with one that we can use, because otherwise it becomes hard to formalize some of the notions.
This is something that's not, to me it sounds reasonable that you create a window that's fairly large, but you don't want it to be too large because then you would be capturing reuse effects that are not relevant.
Yes.
And where is that boundary? The boundary should be size of the cache.
Yeah, so or another definition that I like is to go from this nest rate curve. I still think that the point where this becomes flat, the foot is what I would call is the working foot size, but maybe that's not quite right.
In general, that's right.
In general, that's
right. But when you construct the MRC, you also need a window.
Yeah. That's true. So again, the same problem comes up. Yeah, you're right.
So that's why I think window should be based on
window size is very critical.
Yeah, it should be based on, I think, the cache size itself.
This assumption, maybe at least in the architecture field, is that the program has stable locality during a certain time period, and that locality can shift.
Mm-hmm.
That locality can shift.
Yeah.
So with the window size, it's small.
But the problem is that the window is a function of number of accesses, not of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's where, and I think that's what causes the trouble here. Because
So if we apply the definition that I said earlier, which is window large enough so that all unique so that the unique items accessed in that window can fill up the cache, right?
Okay.
So let's say.
So then your window size should be 3, and you're saying even with 3, the working set of this combined thing would be.
So how big is your cache now? 2. Is your cache 2 or?
I'm trying to determine the working set of the sequence.
Of a sequence or? But there are two words, right?
Doesn't matter. I mean, because that's really what Ricardo was saying, right? That these two are working sets of size 1, but I can create a combined sequence whose working set will be larger, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what the claim is? That's more than
I
the
guess
sum
you
of
can look at it that way.
In fact, the example he showed even during his presentation was where working set of A was this much, working set of B was this much, but working set of this combined one was 20 units more than... So, essentially, applying the same program or definition, you should get a different working set size here. So, if we apply your definition, the distinct items would be what? So, I'm not very clear about the definition of working set here.
I'm trying to see if my definition needs to be modified. I said distinct items, but do I mean reused items?
Right. So, you know, obviously you don't want the this window to be so large that it includes 2As, right?
No, 2As are fine. Right, because that's...
If you include 2As, then your working set will be way large.
So that's why I was thinking that...
I would like to get an answer of 3, and the only way to get 3 is by having greater size of set. So how do I defend the window of size 3 is the question. And how did you change to a window of 3? Because here the window was what? 1? And here the window was 1, and suddenly you're going to window size 3. And so for me, the whole definition falls apart. I don't understand working set in this precise manner.
Mm-hmm.
I only understand it very vaguely, saying, these are the pages you're going to need, right? Something like
that. Yeah, so I should revise my definition of working set and say that the set of distinct items that are reused plus 1.
Then I would only get 2 here. Then I don't have a problem.
Then you would get only 2. So the working set, the individual sum of working sets is actually 2, but there is additional wastage. There is additional wastage. So you're saying have a formula.
No, but his wastage was in the working set of the combined stream, right? That's how he presented it, and I assume that somehow there was a definition that would explain.
No, working, the wastage was the wastage
so
for a specific working
set. The value of A, working set of A, working set of B, and working set of A, whatever.
And this is equal to sum of all the working sets
plus the wastage.
Sum of all the wastage.
Correct.
That looks like this. And the sum of all, so this is wastage of I. That I induces over there.
That's correct. So somehow I should get working set of this guy to be more than 2.
You mean this quantity? You're looking for this quantity?
So when I take this access sequence, I should get a working set of working set size to be more than 2, right? Because there's wastage here, surely. Yeah.
So this one should be sum of all the working sets,
which is 1 plus 1, plus
the
base.
2 plus.
So it should be 2 plus some epsilon, whatever that number is.
If so I have 1 plus
or 0 plus 1.
0, yeah.
Plus the wastage is 1 plus 1.
I'm saying let's not even worry about this. I know that this is a number that's bigger than 1, right? So, what is the definition that will give me that?
What is the definition of the window?
What is the working set size of this sequence? Now I have the... No, forget wastage, because you're getting into wastage. I'm saying I have a black box that I give it any sequence to give me a working set size, right? Without knowing, understanding wastage, without... It doesn't even know that there are two workloads, blah, blah, blah. Is there a... I give it a sequence, it should give me the working set size. What is it for this? Because that's what you're claiming here, right?
The thing is that you cannot have that sort of a clear working set.
Sure, you could. Well, so let's say my sequence is 1, 2, 3... 4, 5, 3, 6, 7, 3. So that's my sequence. This should have a working set and a working set size. And my problem is, since I don't understand the definition well enough, I don't know what is the working set size of this.
So in this case, the working set size is 2. plus it's so 1 plus wastage, right? Because you have reuse of 3 and streaming access of the rest.
So you're saying it's 2.
Here also it's 2. That's the working set. Doesn't mean that...
So you're arguing...
But the problem is that now your replacement algorithm is going to kick out A when 1 and 2 come.
To use LRU,
yeah. But if you want to just look at the working set, then...
So let's say I have only one working set. And if you come and tell me the working set size is 10, what it means is that just having a cache of size 10 is not good enough.
Yeah, because it depends on the algorithm. You can really mess up the elements in the cache if you change the algorithm to something really bad. Or even the best algorithm.
I'm using it a fairly standard one, like LRU. So you're saying even with LRU, it's not good enough.
You need optimal.
So working set doesn't quite necessarily tell me how big the cache is.
Yeah, you need, that's why we are finalizing
this. This is not really the working set size either then.
Well, if you construct an MRC like that, any algorithm that preserves the elements in the working set all the time would lead to the miss rate that you see here, right? If you change the algorithm, you won't get that MRC at all. So I'm wondering what the MRC would be with LRU for this.
So MRC is always computed for a certain
algorithm.
So that's fine. So let's assume this is my MRC for the LRU.
Okay.
I was thinking that this point where it flattens out comes to the foot is the working set size, but you're now telling me that it's probably not.
I didn't say that. I said that it's, that would be the working set size, but that...
No, it's not, because not by this example, right?
What do you mean? Here your flattening out would be at 3, for a larger.
So it's not the working set size.
So here I have 3.
No. Forget the formula with wastage. That's not the right way to compute working set size.
Why not?
Working set size is defined for a sequence, right? A sequence of accesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I give you this access sequence. You're going to tell me that the working set size is 2, right?
No, if I have OPT, yes, but I don't. If I have optimal algorithm, then
but
I would...
working set size is independent of the replacement.
No, your MRC is depending on
MRC
the algorithm.
But MRC
and your definition of the lowest point, which is working set, would also depend on the algorithm.
I'm trying to understand whether this point really is the working set size.
I'm saying that it depends on... No. I'm saying that if OPD is your replacement algorithm, then your working set size would be... too, and you will be good enough with just having a cache of size.
Right, working set size is independent of the replacement scheme. It's the MRC that depends on the replacement scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, working set is also depending on the replacement scheme.
Really?
Right, the way we define working set is the set of all items that get reused in the ERSS work, and that's assuming an LRU.
No, reuse is simply what shows up on the access sequence. It's got nothing to do with whether I could get replaced or not.
Because LRU based on is works based on the reuse metric itself. Now, I have to say that I'm thinking about these things for the first time, but...
So somehow I don't think this doesn't gel... sit properly in my head.
Okay,
I think of working set as independent of the replacement scheme. If I give you an access sequence, you should be able to tell me this.
When you would be, then you're thinking OPT. You're already having OPT in your mind. Right?
But working set is very...
What's the definition of working set?
That's why I started with that, because I don't know
it. That's what I'm saying. The working set definition depends on the replacement algorithm, according to me.
No, it only depends on the window, according to you. It depends on the window size.
Okay, given a window, how do you define working set?
You
said everything
count
that gets
the number
reused.
Of, yes.
Everything
right.
That gets reused.
Correct. Yeah.
And,
reuse is simply, if it shows up twice in that window, it's reused.
I know.
Otherwise
the
it's
reason
not.
I define it that way is because I'm thinking of LRU already. In terms of the replacement algorithm.
That definition is sure the
then
size of IRU.
Yeah. But for instance, in Denning's work, right?
Yeah.
From the 70s, they define working set as just the set of unique items.
Yeah.
That are accessed in a given window.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Just the
set of unique items.
Sure.
Uh-huh. But that's not very useful. Because in the end, what you want to do with those items is fill a cache with it that runs a replacement algorithm.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why people
but
came up with...
if he counts it that way, he would be able to handle LRU because that's the maximum number of unique items and they can all sit in the cache without a problem because I'll make the cache as big as the working set.
Right, but that's so much wastage.
That's too much wastage, obviously. But that's why the choice of the window size becomes so critical, like over here.
Right, and the window size will tell you, for instance, what are the set of items you consider, but won't tell you how to compute the size of the working set. I feel like when you compute the size of the working set, it must be useful, and if you want to make it useful, then it gets tied to the replacement algorithm.
Okay. All right. So we should probably go and look at definitions of working set as defined in some of these papers, because...
We did in the ERSS paper. That's what we did. We said, okay, let's look at the title of the paper is Revisiting Working Sets,
uh-huh.
Right? And there we said that okay, here are all the definitions.
So that's
of working
why
sets.
You have this effective reuse working.
Yeah, sets. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Because you don't care about working set, but you care about working
yeah.
set and.
Yeah, if we define
ERSS looks like really depends on
the replacement
algorithm.
Yes. We explicitly say that what is the minimum amount of cache size that's required so that the application does not experience tracking behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And who decides that? The replacement algorithm.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that's the best way, it's just the way we came up with it.
So when Ricardo talks about these definitions, he's talking about
assuming LRU.
According to that definition.
Yes, assuming LRU.
Okay, no, that's good. So at least the terminology is, we agree on. So, all right, fine.
Right, so when I say 2 here, I'm thinking optimal.
So all it's saying is that in this case, you better have a cache of size 3, otherwise A will get kicked out.
Yeah.
That's really what it says, right?
Yeah.
No, even 3 is...
Yeah.
I mean, 3 is okay.
Would be okay.
okay? But but it also means that the window that you're going to use is of size 2, right?
Could be more.
Or could be more. Right, sure. And even if you use more, it will still give you the same answer, so to speak, for the LRU. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I won't try and think what.
Well, if you use a window of size 6, it will give you, it will tell you that you need a larger.
That's why you need this formulation. I mean, otherwise it's going to be very hard for you to compute what is the actual cash requirement. This is not a wastage, it's actually cash requirement. Sorry, it's not working, it's cash requirement.
Okay, then. Because Ricardo, he used the terminology working set size.
Working set. Yeah, I'm also saying that, but it's not working set. It's actually a cash requirement given a replacement algorithm,
which for you is the same as this ERSS based working set size.
Right, but we don't define ERSS for
the effective working set size.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah, effective working.
So even that is dependent on the window size.
Yeah. If you take window 1, then it doesn't help. It has to be large enough. And then the question is, can you make it infinitely large? No, you cannot, because it won't be relevant to the cache itself.
Well, so let me tell you where I was coming from. Ultimately, you want to find solutions for wastage, or you want to minimize wastage, or something like this. What do you have control over? Let's say you don't have control over the cache replacement scheme. So down there, you're stuck with whatever is there. So the only thing you have some control over is sort of trying to minimize this interference. And so it almost seems like if I can slow this down, then I would lower the wastage for this other workload.
Yes.
So it seems that the only thing you have control over is the relative speeds of these things.
Right.
Which means in a window, how many accesses do I have of this guy versus that guy? That's
right.
The only thing that's controllable.
That's right.
So it. And so I was trying to see if I could somehow come up with a definition of that.
Like the reuse rate and the flood rate, right?
Yeah, I wasn't convinced that that was the right definition.
It may not be,
So that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
And you were saying it will boil down to that. Because
that will tell you, for instance, how many, what is the rate of reuse? And what is the rate of reuse includes all items that are distinct and the fact that they get used more than once.
Yeah.
And the flood rate is all items that are distinct but they do not get reused.
And the other aspect is that you can't really go and slow down other workloads. The only thing you can do is speed up some workloads.
The only thing you can do is
you can't
slow it
because
down.
if you go with the assumption that this guy is in trouble because of a whole bunch of other guys, and I don't know which ones, then the only way, and as I said, the only reason you're getting kicked out is because you're at the bottom of the pile. It's not because one workload targeted you as someone should be kicked out. It's just that you are at the bottom of the pile, so you get kicked out by whoever comes on top.
Or you are at the middle of the pile, everyone above you is responsible for kicking you out.
Right. So I'm saying that the only way you can remedy the situation is by speeding things up so that you don't...
Or slowing the guys at the above you.
But there may be too many things to slow down, and that...
Even if you slow, I think the point is that even if you slow down one guy who's above you, you
may not be enough because, again, this is a simple situation where there are only two. If you imagine a situation where there are many, really, the problem is that you are too slow in comparison to the others, not because they collectively, N minus one guys, are faster than you.
No, see, the thing is that the reuse rate of individual workloads can be changed, and flood rates of individual workloads can be changed.
Yeah.
Flooding let's consider three workloads, right? Because
yeah.
then that would answer your question. So you have workload A, B, and C. The flood rate of workload A is, let's say, 1 over 5. This is 1 over 5 as well, right? And the reuse rate of workload C is, okay, so what does this mean? This means that every fifth item, C reuses something. Let's say every fifth item, A floods with something. A flooding out B, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I change A, right, the flooding of both A and B affect C. It's a cumulative effect, right?
Yeah.
If there was only B, then C would be flooded less.
Okay, no.
So the flooding is actually a compounding effect.
So actually, yeah, no, you're right in the sense that.
So we could remedy the problem with C just by slowing down.
When you speed up one, right, you effectively do slow down the other. So I guess both are.
Yeah, you could do both. But what I'm saying is,
I'm saying it happens. It will happen anyways. Ultimately, it's a unit resource, right? So when you speed up one, you have to necessarily slow down for
one. Right. So what I'm saying is that, and these guys also have some reuse rates, say 3 or 5 or something like that. What is our remedial solution upon finger pointing? Let's say there is a problem at a certain cache level, and there is one workload that's having a problem. How do I solve the problem? One approach is to move that workload to another cache where it won't have a problem.
Yeah.
But what is, regardless of where I move it, it's always going to have a problem, right? Then I have to look at other workloads. I have to move some of the other guys.
Or maybe this guy is just so slow that everywhere it runs into a problem.
Right. Or we could do, you know, CPU shares. What we could actually move A or B, and that would help C. You don't have to move all of them out to help C.
Yeah.
Because the reuse rates and the flood rates add up and affect C.
Okay.
If we couldn't know which one affects more.
Yes. And you would know that by looking at the reuse and flood rates.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, sorry to hijack this discussion.
No, it's very useful, and there's a lot of, I feel clear myself, a little more clear. Not enough, but better than before.
Okay. So I've started writing something. Maybe in a couple of days I'll send you some random stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Should we start with this? We already?
Yeah, we have it.
Is it set up?
Oh, okay.
You didn't send us.
I haven't sent you the link, but I'll send you.
You can just call it by the HTML, now we can see it.
Yeah. For now, I'll just write separately and at some point it'll start to make sense.
Yeah, I think at this point, if you want to send me what you have in a separate tech file, I'll figure out where to put it, because I'm still not clear on what goes into each section. I have some idea, but it's too high level at this point.
So we already have an outline, we can start with that. That's
yeah, there is an outline, yes. That's true.
We'll start with the structure, and we'll see conversion.
Okay. All right. So Ming, what are your thoughts on the proposal at this point?
I think I'm gonna start writing, but the more you guys write, the easier for me to revise my
integration
writing.
Part.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, okay. I can start with what I have already, with some understanding.
Yeah, you sent a couple of questions, right?
Yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, I'm gonna start with those questions.
And so I'm just trying to remember what were those questions?
One is
you want me to pull it up?
That's okay. Well, I remember. Why is the determine where is the bottleneck? So you have cache hierarchy, determine which layer of hierarchy is the bottleneck. And second, they decide, so now we know the bottleneck, how do we solve that situation? Within the migrate, of course. Again, migrate the workload across cores, or migrate the virtual machine across hosts. The question is, how do we know where to migrate, which one to migrate, and then where to migrate to?
And CPU shares. Ideally, that may not be possible without reducing someone else's share.
Right.
So who's share to reduce?
That's right. If everybody is already, I think the minimum of their CPU requirement to get their QoS target, you cannot reduce.
Yeah.
So you can reduce only this buffer, and then yeah. So then we can use the buffer to increase. But that's the exact problem addressed by the QCon paper. So I'm not sure why I want to talk much about it. If I talk about it, I have to come up with a different solution. Because that's already done.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that I read somewhere that seemed to connect to this was, if you think of migrating a workload to a different server, sometimes you can't just do it arbitrarily. There may be other workloads that are connected to it somehow. And so there may be cohorts that need to, I don't know how relevant it is to our discussion, but that's...
Yeah, these are multi-tier applications.
You want to mention this somewhere as yet another thing we'll think about.
Yeah, that makes sense, yes.
Yeah, multi-tier applications are...
Yeah, we talk about that in our CSR proposal. And I actually have some data supported.
Uh-huh, okay. Of somehow correlated tasks.
Yeah, if correlated tasks, if you allow them to share the cache, it would be enough faster.
Yeah, that's...
So it means that even with virtual machine migration, you can't just migrate one of them, you have to migrate a whole bunch of them or something, is it?
For some applications, it would be beneficial to migrate them together, yes.
Yeah.
If they share the cache. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so the plan is, my personal goal is to have October 9, significant amount of writing done over this weekend, and I'm working with Scott on internal clearance right now, so we should be done with that tomorrow, hopefully. So the summary is that I'm requesting 1 month PI salary, 1 month salary for all PIs, and 4 grad students for 4 years. So we are hitting the 1.2 million.
So if you can put in some money for programmer type undergraduate, that's some of this money. If you have a few thousand here and there, I might be putting some.
Okay.
That's always
good. We can always get the RU supplements.
Okay.
Yeah, RU supplements are,
that's great.
Should be easy to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have. I was talking to Ming about.
But you can't use RU for master's students or
anything.
Right?
No, only undergrad.
We can use the grad student money for master's if you want. Master's, it's hard to find good master's students. It's a real issue.
No.
Yeah, but sometimes you just want them to write something or run some experiments.
Yeah. But just getting them trained so that they can get to a point to write all these
takes too long.
Yeah, it takes too long. I'd much rather have my PhD students do it. Okay, alright. What else do you want to talk about? We should meet sometime early next week, I think.
Yeah,
be Tuesday.
We have to accelerate stuff.
Yeah, because today is already 27, and this month only has 30 days. So
3 and 9, 12, total of 12 days.
12 days.
Less than 2 weeks.
Okay, let's work on it. Send me whatever you have. What I'll do, the SVN accounts and send that to you. I mean, it's the same SVN. I just need to send you the link. Your existing login should work.
Same SVN means?
The same SVN server that you use. We've used for
right.
other projects.
So how do you start a new project in there?
To create a project?
Yeah, inside the. Inside the SVN?
Yeah, so there's a SVN create command that does that for you.
You create a new repository.
Create a new repository.
So you create a completely new repository?
Yeah.
New project.
But what if
repository?
I don't want to?
You can put a folder instead of the same repository.
You can just say SVN add a directory
yeah.
under a.
No, let's say your repository has. The last 10 grants, now you want 11th grant, so I want to start something.
I usually create a new repository because I may have different people working on it and I want to protect access, and you can do that only at the granularity of repositories. But if you add an existing directory, then whoever has access to the repository can also look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask you about the DA?
Yes, yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So we should meet Friday, Tuesday at 5 p.m. Giri? Does that work?
Yeah.
Or 4
yeah.
earlier? 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
4 p.m.? How about 4 p.m.? All right.
Yeah, let me check and